From Moody Radio Chicago, you're listening to This Is The Day with Nancy Turner. For more information, visit our website, thisistheday.fm. Now here's Nancy Turner.
This is Nancy Turner, and in studio with me, Donna Berryman, who is my friend, and she's running the board, pulling the music together. Tim Mast is answering the phones. Program produced today by Jasper Lukos, and so thank you, everybody. And visiting us, too, is one of the ministries that we've highlighted, and you've heard about it on the air, our Ministry of the Month. We have various ones, and I love this thing that we're doing on the air because it helps us know about some of the things that go on in our community that we're not even aware of, that do miraculous, wonderful things through God. And one of them is called Timothy's Ministry. And the founder of this is Marian Alvarado, who is next to me in the studio. Hi, Marian.
Hi, Nancy.
Marian says to me, I'm so nervous about getting on a microphone at the radio with this big microphone and big headphones on my head. But you don't have to wear the headphones. But I'm the opposite of you, Marian, because for me to get up in front of even one person, I'm like, you have to drag me on. My knees are knocking. But to get on the radio or TV, it doesn't bother me. It's opposite. You can speak in front of people, right? It's okay for you?
Really comfortable in front of people if I can see their faces. But this is great.
Well, I want you to imagine our listeners, or imagine a listener. And this could be somebody who is in a kitchen, in the cab of a truck, driving across the country. Just think of one person that you are talking to, and it's a composite individual. But this individual has a heart that needs to hear your message, because mm-hmm. you have a message for us. First of all, tell us, what is Timothy's Ministry?
Well, Timothy's Ministry is a ministry really of compassion and love to the homeless. We meet every other Sunday in a church in Arlington Heights, the Orchard Church, with approximately 50 people struggling with homelessness. And together with perhaps 100 volunteers, and we have a potluck family-style luncheon where we all eat together, we get to know each other. After lunch is over, there's a clothing room. After the clothing room, there's a Bible study. And every other week, there's at least 5 to 10 new people joining us for the first time who are struggling with homelessness. I bring a bus down to Chicago, and the first luncheon and the first bus trip was on February 20th, 2004. And none of this was my idea from the very beginning, but this is just, God just has continued it. And I just, you know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is, with man, this is not possible, but with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. So why do you call it Timothy's Ministry?
Well, if I could just back up a little bit, I could share how this ministry began. Approximately 7.5 years ago, I found myself on my knees on my kitchen floor. It was the day before my son Tim's birthday, and Tim had passed away the year before. And I had just hit the end of my line there, and I just cried out to God and said, help me, Lord, how am I supposed to get up tomorrow morning? And then just said, if only I could have just had the simple joy of baking Tim a cake, what I would have given for that. And a year before that, I had really come to faith in Jesus, a real faith for the first time. And it happened because a friend of mine, Carol, invited me to a Bible study. And I didn't want to go. She was always inviting me, and I had no idea why she went to a Bible study. But I went that one night, and I felt something, and I saw women with real faith. And somehow I came to faith in Jesus, and just 6 weeks after this first Bible study visit and 10 days after I came to faith, my son Tim suddenly passed away. But I was so grateful to know that God was real, but I knew I was facing the unsurvivable. I knew this was one thing I cannot live through, losing a child. But somehow God became my medicine, and I knew it. I knew there was nothing on this earth that could have helped me. And this year later, as I was on my knees crying out to God, asking God to help me, this thought came to my mind, maybe if I bake a cake for someone else, maybe that will help me get out of bed. And I thought immediately of a homeless shelter because Tim reached out to the homeless. And in high school, he actually brought a homeless man home 3 months before he passed away. So it just, the really? Thought of a homeless, baking for a homeless shelter just was a no-brainer for me, but it wouldn't have been something I would have thought of. And so I called my husband really quickly and asked him, if I can find a homeless shelter that would be willing to accept baked goods, would you take them down to a shelter? And he said, sure. But when I called the shelter and they told me, we're desperate here, where'd you get our number? This is a godsend. I asked them what they needed, and I ended up taking that second step, which again, that was, I know it was God-led, obviously. I called, I emailed the ladies in my Bible study and told them where I was going the next day. And it just happened the Bible study would be meeting on that next day.
I am amazed by this story. I'm sitting here absolutely stunned because I always talk about one person gets an idea or an illumination from God to do something. And that's what happened to you. You were on your knees and you had the illumination of the idea. That's beautiful.
Well, and I know it was not my idea. It had to be the Holy Spirit. And when I arrived at the Bible study the next morning, I thought I was seeing a miracle and an answer to prayer just in that, because there were piles and piles of men's clothing, toiletries, and lots of baked goods. And a friend of mine, Connie, went down with me to that homeless shelter. We cleared out my van. And I thought at that moment that that's all we were going to do. But I was so grateful to God, wow, that God got me out of bed. But when I stepped out of the van in the parking lot of the homeless shelter, something happened as I heard their voices. The people who were living in the shelter were homeless. I heard them say, God bless you, thank you. And I looked and thought, whose voices are those? This couldn't be people who are homeless. I cannot explain what happened. But as I looked in their faces and heard their voices, something happened to this hole in my heart that just absolutely filled up. And I felt love. And I also felt that I was in the same exact place as them. We are the same. I never planned to be in a place where I would lose a child. I had the dream. We have four children, you know, the picket fence. My kids were all going to grow up and get married. So I understood what it felt like to be in a place that you felt hopeless, but yet God found a way to show me that calling out to God in Jesus's name, that there was just absolute medicine and hope in that. So I ended up going inside and visiting with the people in the homeless shelter. And after visiting, there were just amazing things that happened. There was an exact size pair of shoe that somebody asked me if we by any chance had that was in my van. And at the end of the day, as we shared our hearts very honestly, I asked them, do you want to pray? Because I found out from when I first came to faith that there was something so supernatural when you pray out loud. I had never done that before. And so we held hands in a circle inside the shelter and we prayed. And one of the men, I'll never forget, a young guy, prayed out loud and he said, Lord, thank you for bringing Marion here to us today. And even though you took her son, and he stretched out his arm and he said, look at all the sons you've given her today.
Wow.
So I could not help but go home and write an email to the ladies in my Bible study. And in that email, I shared the story and I said, I'm going back down in 2 weeks. So 2 weeks later, I visited the shelter, another email. 2 weeks later, before I knew it, people were passing around my emails and people were contacting me saying, can I be on your email list? Because there was always a story. And I also shared the real needs that people had. So
we're going to find out more about Timothy's ministry. I'm just sitting here with my mouth open saying, wow, what a great story this is. And we want to hear more about it from Marion Alvarado of Timothy's ministry. And you are listening to our program. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What if it all depended on me to change the world, to change? To change.
Then you know what? God is putting that call on your heart right now, even as you are listening, even as I am listening. What is our thing that we can do to help and change the world? Just one person, the power of one person. And maybe you feel like a one person, an alone person, whether it's a marriage that's falling apart, a child that's no longer with you, a relationship that's damaged. You yourself find yourself in a situation of no money or homeless. You have that alone place. And that's why our guest here is in the studio, Marian Alvarado, founder of Timothy's Ministry. What was it that made you keep coming back to the homeless shelter by yourself or with a lady or two from your Bible study?
Oh, yes. And it God always provided from the beginning for a full year or more. I would visit the homeless shelter directly after our Bible study on Thursday morning. And there was always somebody, a friend at the Bible study that would say, "Can I go with you today?" It was so awesome. And the thing that got kept me going back was that I would always meet someone, sometimes just a young guy that might be 19 or 20 or an older person that was so alone and had a story that would just stay in my heart. And I would find myself just thinking about the person and knowing that I need to get back there and just visit. It would mean so much. The people in the shelter would say things like, for all of us that would walk in, they'd say, you know, when you walk in there, it's like there's a light that came in. So of course I knew that was the Holy Spirit, because when I first walked into that Bible study, I actually experienced a light, that was very meaningful to me, to be encouraged. And, but a year after visiting, something happened again that was not my idea, that the church I attend, the Orchard, did a coat drive. And I wasn't a member of the church, and I was actually visiting a variety of churches, but they heard about our ministry and they did a coat drive. And I, on a particular day, February 2004, brought down a van load of coats to the shelter and visited as I always did. But for some reason, as I left that day, two men stopped me who were homeless from the shelter and said, "Hey, Marian, some of us have been talking and we'd like to visit your church." And I thought to myself, that's not going to happen. But I nodded my head, that's really nice, But knew it couldn't happen because the people in the shelter lived in Chicago. We were in Arlington Heights, and the people who were homeless didn't drive. But somehow when I got back to my computer to write that email that afternoon, there was an email from a pastor named Dennis from the church. And he never wrote to me before. I only knew who he was from seeing him up on the altar. And he wrote to me and he said, "Oh, we're praying for you and your ministry." And I thought it was odd to be called a ministry. So I wrote him back and I said, what should I say to these men? They asked to visit your church. And he just said, "What a privilege and a blessing. If they want to come, that's what we're here for." And then I said, because I felt so protective over these people, I said, I don't know that they'd feel so comfortable coming out here because people get very dressed up. And he said, "Well, then ask your volunteers to dress casually and you can have a potluck lunch in Fellowship Hall." I didn't even know where Fellowship Hall was. So that gave me 3 days. I sent one email out to my volunteers, which by then I had about 100 people on my volunteer list. And I said, "Bring a dish." And I told them the story, and I called down to the shelter and I said, "We're bringing a bus." And we agreed to meet 4 blocks away from the shelter in front of a McDonald's parking lot, and because of the separation of church and state. And 3 days later, I drove down on a bus wondering to myself and praying, "I cannot believe I am on a bus right now going into Chicago, picking up people who are homeless." But 18 people were standing there. And some of them didn't believe in God. And it was just amazing to see and hear. I still remember this one guy sitting next to me in church who was homeless. And he told me he didn't believe in God. And as the pastor was speaking, he said, "He's talking to me. He's talking right to me. I can hear it." And then we went into the room and I could not believe it on that first lunch. And I had no idea. There was no dress rehearsal. There was no meeting committee. I didn't call anyone and say, who's bringing the bread or the butter? And walked in and there was this amazing feast that people just brought potluck. Somebody brought some flowers and it was like the East meeting the West. My volunteers from my email list were meeting the people I had been visiting at the shelter. And so it's a spontaneous hugging, like a family reunion. Like, oh, you're George, you're John. And, and you know, me wanting to introduce everybody. So we spontaneously then, I said, let's form a circle, just as we did in the shelter that day. And we formed a circle and we prayed. And so many people prayed out loud, but the ground was level, and I love that. And when we decided to eat, it was time to eat. Everyone ate at the same time, and we all ate together. So it wasn't a soup kitchen. Mm-hmm. And that could have only been God's idea. And to this day, every other Sunday, since February 20th, 2004, we've had a luncheon. We've probably had close to 2,500 people come out on our bus who are homeless. And we now bring a 50-seater bus. And yeah, it's all God. And I didn't, after that first luncheon, somebody came up to me and said, somebody that didn't go to our church. And he said, you know, I attended a church for 20 years and I got more out of today than I've gotten out of 20 years of church. And I knew, of course, that was because he experienced the Holy Spirit. The presence of God is palpable in the room when we're gathered. And I think that's because Jesus says, you know, I was the poor. You know, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after that first luncheon, somebody said, we've got to do this again. And I looked at them and said, you don't understand. What you're seeing here today would take a lot of work to organize it. And I once organized a luncheon a long time ago for a fundraiser at a church. And it took 3 months to organize a luncheon like that, calling everybody, double checking where's the food. So I said to them, well, if God wants this to happen, I'll just ask him to make it happen. So I prayed that night and I said, God, if you want us to have more luncheons, would you just please make it happen? Because I don't have the time to organize. This is not my skill area. 2 days later, my phone rang without anyone knowing I prayed. And it was a volunteer who showed up on that Sunday and said, hey, I was at the luncheon on Sunday, and I was wondering if my group of friends could host a luncheon like this. And 2 days later, somebody else, the same exact thing. And I thought to myself, brilliant hosting. And so that took it off of me. Uh-huh. And I just started putting people down on the calendar and let people know there's an opportunity to host. So I never do the cooking or anything. And just every other Sunday, volunteers come in from all over, all different faith backgrounds, friends, neighbors, people from within our church. And then we always fit, you know, 50 people on our bus. And somehow God was just had his hand on that as well. Because I'd wonder, one of these days we should have 725 people standing out in front of the McDonald's. But instead, it would be like an exact fit. Everybody would always fit on our bus, even though 5 to 10 new people would come for the first time, meaning homeless people. People were coming from all over Chicago, but they were always people I knew or someone knew. So it was always and always continues to be a family where we love each other. And a year ago, all of a sudden, there were 10 people that could not fit on our bus. And it broke my heart, and we had to leave 10 people behind who were homeless. And I didn't know the people. They were people there for the first time. And it was just very emotional. And I sent out an email because I knew that if we're to stay a family ministry, we cannot have this family experience where everybody knows everybody's name and mm-hmm. hugs and loves each other if we have 400 people. So I sent out an email to my email list. It's now hundreds and hundreds, and it's about 800 or 900 people. And I've never asked anyone to be on my email list. They contact us because yes. There's always a God story when I send out the emails. But I put it out and I said, if there's a church out there that would like to send a bus, a van, a car, anything, because we just left 10 people behind. And a church by the name of Cornerstone Church mm-hmm. in Chicago on Elmhurst Road contacted me. And I'm sorry, Cornerstone Church is in Prospect Heights.
That's okay. You don't have to remember all the big details.
And they contacted me. They're actually friends of mine, and they had volunteered for us many times. So they said, we'll do it. And so I asked them to do a run-through with me, riding the bus and spending an entire day at our ministry, which includes, of course, the lunch and the clothing room and a Bible study. And 2 weeks later, after they did their training, they took a bus down, not knowing if anyone would even show up. And they took a bus down 2 hours after we left our bus. And there were 15 people that showed up without any announcement. And ever since then, every other Sunday, together with us, their bus is always filled, 15 to 20 people, and they do a potluck luncheon. And in the last 6 months, we also had a church called Mount Olive Church in Chicago. And this Pastor Bob contacted me, and he heard about us, and he came out and visited, and he said he was just really convicted. They're in Chicago near Irving Park in the expressway. I think they're on Tripp Street. And just an awesome church. And they have been for many months opening their doors for a replicated type of luncheon like this, family style, first Sunday of every month.
Wow.
So they could all use volunteers.
Okay, we're going to get into that and wrap up with your what the needs are and how people, if they want to get involved, can get involved with Timothy's ministry. And I've loved this. Just very compelling story. Won't you stay with us? The program is called This is the Day, and we've been talking about Timothy's ministry, which was birthed out of a God moment with one woman, and it has grown a lot. Marian Alvarez is the founder of it, and God really put the idea in her head through a hole in her heart, and he filled it this way. And maybe you're listening today, and you're saying, I don't know how to get up tomorrow. I don't know how to get through the next 15 minutes. I am so sad or lonely or needy or just feel like I need to do something. Maybe that's God prompting you and saying to you, I have medicine for you. I have a way for you to minister. So with that, Marian, I'd love for you to wrap up here and tell us what we can do.
Yes, well, our website, we do have a website, and God has provided for that as well, including dropping us down from heaven a website designer. But our website address is timothysministry.org, and that's T-I-M-O-T-H-Y-S ministry, singular.org. And we, in addition to being a family for people and coming to love people and hear their stories and help them, we strive to help people step out of homelessness, and we also strive to help alleviate the suffering that's found in homelessness. That is really our mission and our prayer. And so we have received financial donations, and we are a 501c3. That's another God's story. It wasn't my idea. But yeah, we are very grateful for any donations. We're very grateful for anyone that wants to help and volunteer directly at our Timothy's ministry or on our website. The two churches that have replicated our ministry, maybe you're in Chicago, maybe you're in Prospect Heights, and you'd like to join in on their ministry Sunday. I know they'd love to have you. And we also pray, the prayer of my heart is for a day center, so that we can continue what we begin on Sundays every day of the week. And we want a day center in Chicago where we can open our doors when most all the shelters are closed and there's nowhere for people to go, so that they come in, they can come in, and we can talk with them, pray with them. And our vision is to be a resource center, just kind of help people to know where to go to get shelter, food pantries, medical care, and so forth. And yeah, so.
All right. If you visit our website, thisistheday.fm, we will have your ministry up there, timothysministry.org. You can go there right now if you'd like. Maybe God is stirring something in your heart that you could do or want to do, or you have a vision for it, or maybe, who knows, Marian, there could be somebody listening right now that says, hey, I have a building. I have a place.
Yes.
This could
well,
be
that's
it.
What I'm, with the way God has worked all the way through.
You wouldn't be so surprised.
God has provided everything. So and whatever, as long as it's God's plan, that's what I want to do. I don't want to do it unless it's God's plan.
I hear you, my sister. I hear you. Yeah. Well, we have to let you go. Our next guest is standing by. And, you know, we have talked about revival and what it means to have that in your heart. Well, what does it mean? There's actually a revival, a crusade that is coming to the Chicagoland area. And maybe you want to know more about that. Well, we'll talk about it coming up. But in the meantime, listen to this on Moody Radio, Chicago.
Today a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one.
You've been listening to This is the Day with Nancy Turner. For more information, visit our website, thisistheday.fm.